The Lord is my shepherd. So, just to review and think about what we talked about a little bit last time, we went through quite a number of the names of Jehovah. Who remembers at least one of them? Jehovah Jireh. Okay, what? That one. No, she didn't know the phone. Okay, there it is. There. That's because we used to sing that song. We'd turn up the music really, really loud in the car and be going down the street singing at the top of our lungs. Anybody else? Jehovah Nissi is actually my standard. Puts a standard down and calls all the heavenly hosts for God's people. Didn't actually talk about that one. Yeah, you would remember that one. She's been studying healing for a long time. Well, does anybody know like what the word Jehovah means? Like, what makes it different from that versus Elohim, which is odd? Elohim has to do with the creation. What he created? Well, more with people though.
Right.
That's one of the Jehovah names. Yeah, so all of these names that go along with Jehovah, like if it's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, there's another one that means the Lord is present. That one's Jehovah Shammah, and the Lord is always there, always taking care of his people. So it does have to do with God's relationship. So the one that we're going to talk about today is the Lord is my shepherd. And then we're in with Psalm 23 for a number of days. And the thing that I wanted us to remember, too, is that, okay, say the Lord, you mean Jehovah, right? Or Yahweh, you could say Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd. Okay, but then in John 10, Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. And then there are people in the body of Christ who are called pastors or shepherds. So you have God calling himself a shepherd, and Jesus Christ is calling himself a shepherd, and then also people that watch out for us in the body of Christ are shepherds. So it's a pattern. It goes from one to the other. Like the verse about I and my Father are one, Jesus Christ said.
One in purpose.
So when Jesus Christ says that he is the good shepherd, it means he's carrying out God's role or his characteristic. And so then it follows that any body of Christ who is a true shepherd pastor is also carrying God's love and care through Jesus Christ to the people. So we can relate to verses about the shepherd on a number of levels. You can just completely only talk about God. But that I don't think then. So what I want to do is talk about God first and then talk about Jesus Christ and then also see a little bit about how people are shepherds. So when you talk about God being a shepherd, the word to take care of the sheep, you can't say feed or tend or has the whole idea of feeding someone. And David, remember David? He grew up as a young child being a shepherd. And God calls him to be a shepherd king. And we're going to, talking about David, encourage you to start reading. Because God calls him and he's called to be a shepherd king, and God uses him as the example of how you should tend and care for God's people. So, to know what God's heart is about this tending and feeding, amazing. So, in order to understand it, we have to kind of go to a weird book, I guess, to start. It's Ezekiel chapter 34. Because in this chapter, we're going to kind of see the opposite of what a good shepherd is. And this will give us a start to see what the flip side of that is. You know, if you see what the opposite, what it is not, what it should not be, then you have a really good idea of what it should be, right? Okay. And, oh, this is pretty amazing in here in Ezekiel 34, because this whole prophecy is about these false shepherds who were doing some really, really, really bad things. So we're going to read it here, starting in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do what? Feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? What a real shepherd is supposed to do is feed the flock. That's what God does. This is what they were doing. He says, You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed. In other words, these shepherds were feeding themselves, and they were just using sheep to get what they wanted. They took the wool, they took the milk, they took everything. That's what God does, right? Okay, it goes on. It gets worse. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. They were scattered, because there is no shepherd. Meet all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered all the face of the earth and did search. Or then he goes on and he tells what the results of the what the wards these shepherds are going to get. But if you look at verse 4 there, and then you start to see the opposite, all right? The disease have you not strengthened. So flip it around and go, then the true shepherd takes care of diseases, strengthens his sheep, right? Healed that which was sick, and bound up the brokenhearted. Does this sound familiar? Yeah. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. So another thing that a shepherd does is he brings that which was scattered. He seeks it. He seeks lost that are scattered, and then brings them together. Sought that which was lost. So that kind of gives you an idea of exactly what a real shepherd does. And it really does tell you over in verse
12. Good shepherd.
Because God says in verse 11, For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will both search my sheep and send out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day when gathered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them on the mountains of Israel. It's actually a prophecy of what's going to happen in the future. God gathers Israel right before the millennial kingdom. And he's going to gather all the people from all the different countries, bring them to eat. To tend them on the mountain. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of Israel. I'll feed them in a good pasture. On the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall that pasture. Though they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, says God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again, bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. This is exactly opposite to what he said that the bad shepherds were not doing. So I started seeing this pattern of four basic things that shepherds do. Now within these four, there's, you know, they are basically that they care for and then tend to, they take care of the sheep, and that includes feeding them, all right? So caring, visiting, doing things for the sheep. That's the first thing. Second thing is that they support and nourish and sustain. Like, these are just the verbs, you know, that describe it. So, like, in the part where he's talking about, I will strengthen that which was sick. There's a nourishment there so that there's a strengthening that happens. And the third thing is to heal and protect. Right. And the fourth one is
to gather. He's always going to search out that which is lost and bring it back into the fold. So there's this gathering and herding. The shepherd has a staff and a club. His purpose of it is gather and to hear that the in the fold.
Supposed to be. So. Okay, now you got to look at Zechariah, because this one also has a what it is not. Only one verse, though. Verse 16 of chapter 11. And this is actually where I got these four things. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither seek the young one. Zechariah 11 and verse 16. Yeah, this is talking about a bad shepherd again. Okay, I'll raise up a shepherd who won't do these things. He won't visit those that are cut off. The cut off means those who are going to ruin or who are on the wrong path. The caring and visiting and providing a feeding center are for those who are being cut off. Either, this is number two, there shall seek the young one of troubles, the ones that are scattered. You know? Third is heal that which is broken, and nor feed those that stand still. Now, you know, even a very strong sheep who's standing strong, who thinks they know what they're doing, needs. So that's the sustaining part. That's the part where it's like the guiding, nourishing herbs like that. But these, they eat the flesh of the fat and they tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaves the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. The arm shall be clean dried up. The right eye shall be utter darkened. I mean, there's going to be dire results follow. There's one more verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. We're going to see these four things again. But this one is another section. Jeremiah was prophesying about some other shepherds who, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. God is very protective of his people, of his sheep. You know, he's calling people sheep, right? And sometimes you think, oh, well, because we are. And we need tending, and we actually, people display a lot of characteristics that sheep have.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So, you know, it's actually a very appropriate analogy. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my, have scattered my flock and driven them away, not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil, and I will gather the remnant of my flock. There's the gathering again. There's seek that which is lost, right? I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds. And I will set up shepherds over them, shall feed them. They shall fear no more, nor shall they be lacking. And then verse 5, this is a verse that we've read before, but now you see the context of it. Oh, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto you, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So this is another Jehovah name, actually. Jehovah Zidkenu, our righteousness. So the righteous branch, remember? We talked all about the branch, right? Well, that he's going to be the one who's the shepherd. So there was already a prophecy in the Old Testament about how Jesus Christ would be the shepherd and guide everyone in the righteousness. He would do all these characteristics. Gather, visit, sustain. Here. Okay, so now go to John 10. So the first thing to really look at carefully is this idea of sustaining, where, you know, sheep is pretty healthy, he's going about his merry business, you know, he's got on the lookout for his lady sheep, he's
gallivanting all around the hills. So, you know, he's pretty strong. Nothing really terribly wrong with him, all right? But he still needs to be fed. And this idea of sustaining. And in John chapter 10, I'm going to read some of the Aramaic too. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber."
Oh, robbers already.
"But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the shearer his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and they follow him. They know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were which he said unto them." He said this parable, but they didn't get it. They didn't know what it meant at all. But let's just go look at the parable for a minute. We know actually what he is, Deborah, right?
Right.
Okay. It's talking about this constant provision that the shepherd does for the sheep. And the main thing that is the comparison here between a real shepherd of what a true shepherd does and a thief and a robber. Now, a thief is someone who comes in and steals things by deceit.
Sneaks in, right? That's why
night and, you know,
gets the window open and, you know,
and sneaks in and steals something, right? Okay, but a robber will come in with, you know, guns blazing. A robber uses violence to get what he wants. You have these two kinds of ways, being deceived, out of cruelty or violence. Now, he says here that whoever doesn't enter the sheepfold of the flock by the gate, but climbs up another way, those are the ones who are the thieves and robbers. They're not doing what it God's way. They're trying to get what they want. They're like those other passages that we read. They're like the shepherds who feed themselves and use the sheep to get what they want. And they don't ever do anything back. They don't actually take care of the sheep. And he says that the sheep hear his voice, right? They follow him because they know his voice. And that's one of the main characteristics of the shepherd, is that he actually leads sheep. He doesn't go, "Okay, sheep, go over there. You know, this is what you should do. Just go over there. There's some water over there. You can take care of it. Just go, go, go." He doesn't do that. He actually goes in front of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. And they don't follow strangers out sheep. They can't hear. They just wander around. If they don't have a real shepherd, they actually can't hear anything. And so then they just kind of wander oblivious to what's going on. But they also, it doesn't work out to just tell them what to do.
They don't do that.
They don't get it. So the only way that really they get it is to
bed.
And that's what it's talking about. That's why they didn't understand this parable. Okay, so that's the part about the sheep. The shepherd sustains and gives this constant provision by leading and being an example, not just telling the sheep what to do. So let's go on to the next section here, 7 through 10. I'm going to read this one from the Aramaic version. It says, "Now again Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the gate of the flock. And all those who come are thieves and robbers, unless the flock hears them. I am the gate, and if anyone should enter by me, he will live. And he will enter, and he will go out and find pasture. A thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have that which is abundant." Okay, now just put that together now with this, what I just told you about the thieves and robbers. I had to explain to him, he said that I am the gate. All right, here's the sheepfold. At night, the shepherd would bring the sheep into an enclosure. Maybe it was for a section of rocks, or they would actually build one out of boulders. But the whole enclosure would go all the way around like that, but the door was open. That's where the shepherd would actually lay down at night in the doorway. He would get all the sheep, call them into the fold, and then he would actually be gate. He would lay in the doorway so that nothing could come in to bother the sheep. That's why it says a thief and a robber would come in some other way, because they're not going to go, they can't go straight through the shepherd. They'd have to climb over the rocks or try to sneak in the back, right? No? But the shepherd is right in the door. He is the actual gate. And it says, I am the gate, or I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, or he shall have life. And he will go in and out, and he'll find... So, it's like building here. The reason he can go in and out is because the shepherd is guarding the gate. Then when it's time to come out, he calls, follow him, and so then they go out, find pasture at night. And so the sheep don't have to be afraid, because the shepherd is actually guarding them against all these robbers, right? Now, when he says that... Everyone who came before me was thieves and robbers. Not talking about like Moses or, you know, the good leaders. He's talking about those leaders who were doing what it was describing in Zechariah and Jeremiah, where they were feeding themselves. They were using the sheep, but they were not care, or would they protect at all. Those were the thieves and robbers. And that's why it's such a vivid picture when you apply it to the adversary or the evil one is a thief. Only his own sole purpose is steal, kill, and destroy. Is that good? Oh, there's nothing good in those three. No, so, you know, it's really the opposite, but he's doing it like a thief, the people away. There were a lot of religious leaders this time, for all the Pharisees and stuff, who looked good on the outside. They looked like they were supposed to be shepherds, right? But they were doing that exact same thing. They were feeding themselves. They were scattering the flock. They were not care of them or protecting them. So, and also, this is the other thing that those robbers didn't do. They were not pointing to coming Messiah, like Gil Shepherd. Those people like Moses, like Judges, you know, different people. Good. That's what they did. They were not pointing to themselves. They were pointing to, Lord is the shepherd, and look at what's coming ahead. He's going to be a bright, righteous branch. He will feed and you. The Messiah will be great. And they were pointing to Jesus out front, you know, straight fashion. Nothing about themselves. And that's why they weren't not either heat nor cruelty to rule. They were genuinely caring for them. So it enables the sheep to go in and out and find these green fat pastures. I like the fat pasture idea. Okay, now the next section is 11 on here. I am the good shepherd. Good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. And he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. Aramaic says, and the wolf comes and plunders and scatters the sheep, because the hired servant doesn't care about the sheep at all. He has nothing invested in it. That's not what God does. He is the true shepherd, and that every day after to protect and serve the sheep. And it doesn't matter if there's an enemy coming up against it. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. And there are two things. Okay, he says he gives his life for the sheep, right? That's that same idea about he lays in the doorway. But it's also bigger, where he actually will lay his life on the line. And if there is a wolf coming, he'll stand there to fight the wolf rather than let the wolf go get the sheep. And that's really what God does for us too. His fights are battles. He stands for us. He sends whatever angels are necessary to take care of us, to prevent the enemy from coming and just... That's the first thing. The second thing is that the shepherd carries a rod and a staff. Those are his two... Rod, what it is, it's about 2 feet long. It's carved out of a really hard piece of wood. And then they'll make a bulb at the top of the piece of thick nails in it, so it's like a spike. It's the forerunner of the mace, like the guns. And it was a very powerful weapon. They'd carry it right there on their belt. So if a wolf came, he'd get this big, heavy club out, and the shepherd would go running and just, whack that wolf and send him to kingdom come, I mean, it was a very powerful weapon. And, you read the story of David, you see how he used that weapon also. Then he also had a sling. David had a sling. But the second thing that the shepherd carries is staff, right? All stick, and he walk. I mean, that's what we normally think staff is for, right? But it's also for, like, tapping the sheep and going, nope. Go over here. No, you're going a little too far over towards that cliff over there. Here. Walk with the staff all around the sheep all the time. Dogs with whistles or, modern day sheepdogs do some effort would actually take always all around the sheep. Showing them, don't go too far over there. Don't do this. So there's this idea of protecting, but it's also like, guiding in, don't go out of these boundaries, because, right over there's a wolf. And if you stay in the fold with me, then you'll be protected and cared for, guarded. Start wandering over that way. And so there's healing involved and there's protection, all to do with protection. The other thing that the shepherd had was he had this big mantle he would use and would wear over his garments, and you had the belt, it was belted, and then he'd hang the sling and the club, and then he'd carry the staff or things that he was eating, so he was completely mobile. And then he would just wrap up in it at night, so he, everything with the sheep. But when Isaiah chapter 40. When there was a little lamb that was sick, in this mantle that the shepherd had, in the front part of the mantle, it was like it was folded over and sewed so that there was this real deep pocket, but it actually had holes on both sides of it. So he'd pick up a little lamb, stick it in his pocket, pat him and rub oil on him to heal him or to take care of him if he was, and then he could still be walking around and tending all the rest of the sheep, or that little lamb would be resting pocket right next to his bosom. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. It's talking about God. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And just lead. Come on. Your little lamb is safe with me. When I first learned this, I got so blessed by it. And I got this real picture. I was needing comfort, and I just got this real heart that God was just carrying me in his arms. I just could lay my head and go. I've continued to come back to that illustration and there was another time where I I felt like I really needed to spend some time in the pocket, that's what I call it. I was like, I really need pocket. And I was going, how come I'm not comforted? Wait, I gotta be up in the pocket. And I felt like God just told me, go, I have to wait for love. And I was trying to jump up into the pocket. I need to get up there right now. And he goes, wait. I will take you. Then you will be safe. This is really beautiful illustration. Anything we need, no matter what it is, there is just that loving care there. Oh.
Okay, so you have to go back to John's a little bit more to reach here.
Staff has a lot to do with healing, too. If you remember the story of Elisha with the Shunammite woman, her son died, and Elisha tells Gehazi to take my staff and go lay my staff on her face, on the child's face. And so the staff represented a lot of healing, guiding things.
Right.
So, chapter 10, where are we here?
Verse 14.
I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am own of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they'll hear my voice, one fold, and therefore doth my Father love me, because I
life that I might take it again.
No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, power to take it again. This commandment have I received.
Vision, therefore, among the Jews for these saints.
Because they didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was talking about in his life. So it's about how Jesus Christ laid down his life in death. So he was going to lay down his life, no one
beat Savior in every way, right?
But it also has the idea of that because he laid down his life, it's like he knew what that was going to accomplish. What it would accomplish would be that it would actually gather all over to be able to be in God's presence. Talked about the tabernacle, you know, opened up the way. Same idea is that through death and by laying down his life, he knew that other people would then also be able to hear his Father and have a relationship with the Father. Like he'd be able to give that, bring everyone into God's presence.
So now we just have to go and read Psalm 23 because you will be astounded that it's all in here, all these same things.
Psalm 23. So the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. Right? Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and shepherds, pastors too. Psalm 23. The Lord is shepherd. My shepherd.
Yes. No, he's your shepherd, Tom. He's your shepherd, Jude. Your shepherd, Katie. But he's,
and that's how intimate the relationship, very beginning. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be lacking in anything. Makes me to lie down in green with me beside the still waters. Maketh me to lie down in pastures of tender grass. Pastures of tender grass. He leads me by the waters of rest. Waters of quietness. Has this whole idea of sustaining, providing in every category. Water?
Right.
Not just like, there's the water, go there, get it. No, God will take our hands and guide us and lead us and walk us to the water and say, that's the good water that you're supposed to drink, not this muddy stuff over here. You know, the muddy stuff might only be even 3 feet away, but he's going to lead us to the waters that are quiet. That's the first part.
Or have, or just verse 3, let's say, have the whole idea of going to rout out the enemy and protect us against the wolves and all that,
be the gate, right? He restoreth my soul as of righteousness.
So we read about
the Lord, the Lord our righteousness. So the paths that he are paths of righteousness. They're paths of true justice, true rightness in every sense.
Like you say righteousness, you can also just say rightness.
It makes more sense than righteousness. Rightness. Every path that's right, that's the one. Mm. Okay, then the next one is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, which is a club,
right,
and thy staff that's guiding me and helping me not to want to comfort me. When I see the shepherd there with his club and ready to zap the enemy on the head for me, I can have great comfort in knowing that he's
trying to make it personal.
He protects me. He comforts me. He takes care of me. You know, not that he doesn't do it up with all of you as well. You know, I'm just
saying it because it is personal. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil.
Up runneth over.
All right. The table, preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Picture of being in the fold, you know, where you're completely protected from your enemies around. So then you can sit and eat this antic feast. Thou anointest my head with oil. If I'm a little sheep and I need to get up in the pocket, the shepherd will, and he would rub it in his head. My cup runneth over. When there was a sheep and they could, they didn't want to go down to the stream, the shepherd would go get the water and come bring it, and then he would actually pour it into his hands, running over, could drink like it was. Last part, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Well, in the house of
Pez, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us.
Well with him, live with him,
walk with the good shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy. Mercy is like a loving kindness. I don't want to like go wandering down and fall over the cliff half the time. You know, I'm like, no, come back, it's okay. He never stops tending, he never stops healing, never stops guiding, and always, that's the I am the good shepherd.